preparation for the weddings, mostly.
Oh, it was there for the families, children, brothers and sisters. Like I said, I really only attended maybe two weddings, and that was in the evening only. So I wasn't aware of how preparations were really made, but there was food, sausages, and cake, and cookies, and that was pretty much the total menu, as far as I know.
Okay. What did the bride wear usually, and were there any decorations?
Well, they had a veil. Veil, and of course...
How about ribbons?
There were some ribbons.
Did they usually have a full gown, a veil and a gown, or just a veil?
Just mostly a veil, as far as I know. I remember getting invited for the Rudolf Mertz and Konrad Stadel. They came and invited horseback Grandma Elizabeth, and she gave a ribbon, and they had this cane. So when they got back, they knew how many guests they had invited. Rudolf Mertz and Konrad Stadel for the August Remick and Cecilia Baumersparger wedding.
How did they know from the ribbons how many guests? What was that cane about?
Well, from each family that they invited, they got a ribbon, and they tied that to their staff, so they knew how many. That was the checklist.
Oh, and so Grandma Elizabeth gave him that staff to fill
she
up?
She gave that one ribbon.
Oh, she gave the ribbon.
She gave a ribbon to tie to that.
I see.
Staff.
And the men, I remember a picture of Grandpa Lang, Grandpa Fred. He had like a ribbon on his suit coat. Was that a common tradition?
Well, that's when they took that wedding picture later on. That was not on the wedding day.
So somebody usually made those ribbons for the men?
Well, that was Hochhalder in his studio in Streeter. And then, of course,
he had that
equipment, and then, of course, whatever, I suppose. Maybe some people brought some to put on, but...
Was there such a thing as a Liebsband that you know of? Some kind of a sash?
No.
You're not familiar with that? Okay.
No, there was...
And there were photographs taken of the bride and groom quite often?
Yes, there were some photographers.
Where was he at, his studio?
Well, people that developed the picture himself. And there was one living up where Randall Mertz's lived. They took the Winkler wedding and some of his Konrad Lang wedding. They came and Hochhalder from the beginning, he developed his own, took the picture and developed his own picture.
And who was the other photographer?
I wouldn't know his name.
Okay.
But he was from the Dawson area. But he lived, the homesteader, I believe, where Randall Mertz's lived, I was told.
How did you meet your spouse?
Well, I suppose with visiting, the parents visiting, and really the first time I met Louise, I'd say, one thing I think, they had come over to our, they must have come over, and...
Who did? The parents?
Philip and Elizabeth and Edward and Louise. I don't know, all the other girls, really along too, but more, Louise remembered my sister's cast iron little green stove that my sister had gotten from Grandma Christina Reisler. And that's about the first time I knew about...
What year was this?
Well, it was in 27, 28, maybe 29.
So was this, it was not an arranged courtship, it was
not
a courtship from meeting each other and...
Not, but then later on, of course, which 3 miles was a long ways and there was no roads, just trails, you know. And one thing about it, we had our own school and had our own church, so towns like Gatlin, 30 miles away, I never got there, or Wishick, which was only about 30 miles until I was 40 years old, maybe, when I got any place. We used to go to Jamestown because we had aunts there and cousins, but otherwise we didn't get to distant towns. Bismarck, that was no-no. There was nothing to go for there.
So what kind of social event did they usually have where young men could meet young women?
Well, in my real younger days, the old tradition, maybe from the old country, they had Sunday afternoon barn dances. I remember that. And that was a big social thing for the young people, I know. And then, of course, we had in schools, we had basket socials and programs that these teachers put on in the spring, or Christmas programs. Otherwise, it was just neighbors visiting neighbors and maybe...
chance meeting that way.
That's about the only way.
Okay.
It kind of blends into the next section about what sort of music and entertainment was at home.
Well, our family, we card playing, numbers, and we made our own cards from cornflake boxes and... And of course, dominoes, we played dominoes, which was a big plus for math, for arithmetic. We learned how to add. And the accordion was about the only instrument, and they were the real smaller ones, the cheaper kinds. The first piano key accordion I seen was at Lake Isabel, and I believe it was Lawrence Welk. And that was sometimes in the later 20s. We had gone up with to the old settlers meeting. The old settlers had meetings every year in June in Kidder County, and we drove up a couple times with the buggy horse and buggies after church services, I remember well, and seeing my first Indians. Evidently they brought some Indians throwing attraction, and I remember that real well.
Mm. So the accordion was about the only instrument that anybody ever played in the
Yeah, band. Anything. Harmonica.
Harmonica, too.
Harmonica played more than one barn dance, too. But then, of course, the tone, the stepping, that everybody kept in step with that. The music wasn't that loud as nowadays.
So were you encouraged to play an instrument by anybody?
It was your own, your own interest, your own intuition. Otherwise, There was no music teachers around, no money for organs or pianos, you know.
Mm-hmm. So did you take lessons for the accordion, or how did you...
No, it was just... I remember playing my first tune, Es war im Böhmerwald. And I demonstrated to my cousins with one finger on dance accordion to Art Neumiller's. And he really listened, and by God, later he bought an accordion. Well, they were still in North Dakota. They moved to Montana in 29. But I got him interested by playing this tune with one finger.
So did you play by ear?
By ear, yes.
All the time?
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know, 70 it says if possible, could you sing one of your favorite songs which you sang as a child?
Well, Red Wing, that was a tune that was played a lot. It was a nice,
ballad type song.
What step? Is it a polka? It's not a waltz.
No, it's more of Texas Swing. Because I was Bob Wills in the Texas Playboys, and that was the Texas Swing thing.
And then, of course, they played some of the these older tones from Du legst mir am Herzen, So wie du mich liebst, so lieb ich auch dich, and Oder lieber Augustin.
Do you want to sing one? Or just forget that?
Oder lieber Augustin, 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 Oder lieber Augustin, alles ist hin.
Oh, okay, good. That's a good record of...
Then I remember when Eva and my cousin had graduated the song Have You Ever Been Lonely. That was a song...
Did she graduate high school?
No, she had 8th grade only.
Okay. And that was a popular song of the day?
She, Among My Souvenirs was another early song that that I remember.
Did you learn to do any dancing? And what kind if you did?
Not really. Because there was no dancing floors, and of course, really didn't learn dancing.
Was it allowed in your family?
It would have, I suppose, if there would have been room, but there was no room, no places. But,
So dancing was not really something that a lot of your family did, but like, what kind of dances did they dance at the barn dances?
Well, they had waltzes and polkas and two steps, one steps.
Mm-hmm. Did some of these dances come out of Russia that your families probably did or brought over?
Well, they talked about the Russian Katlachuk, but nobody knew a dance, and I guess if they did, they just were practicing. So there was...
So the main places you went for a dance was maybe like a barn?
Yes, after I got bigger, after I was a teenager. Yeah, I attended barn dances. That was about the only. And then, of course, there was this Gold Room and the Miller and Napoleon Saturday evenings, Saturday nights. And we used to get rides with the remix and so on. When Fred Lang built the barn, that was even before he was married, and then he said, that's in the number, bin ich nuntergetergeist, ich in the Leo.
Your cousin Fred.
My cousin Fred. But I was to the first foreign Brazilian dance, and that was at John Balzer's barn. Chris DeMarquette was playing, but I don't remember. I wish I'd know how he got down there. Bin ich auch noch unter die Request. I don't know who was that went down from that area, but that I was don't remember.
So young people attended these dances generally, or older people, or who?
Young people.
Young people generally. Not couples with children, probably too much, huh?
Well, the Hendricks, oh yeah, they were a dancing family. They brought their families, their wives, and of course, no babysitters, so they took the kids along too.
They were five.
Yeah.
What was the attitude of some of the older generation towards dance halls or dancing?
Oh, I suppose pro and con, but quite naturally, people, young people, they need entertainment, socialize, and so it's just one of the things in life that
did those barn dances ever get kind of wild?
Later on, yeah, they kind of had a discontinuum because there was too much fighting going on, but the earlier ones, they were really nice. But then, through this...
Mm-hmm.
So was there a different kind of a community meeting place ever where people socialized, maybe besides church and barn dance?
Salt Lake and Lake Isabel, that was about the only socializing places. They had pavilions in both places, and there was bigger places for dances. And of course, Salt Lake is where I went to see Bill Langer when he was running for governor. And this Isabel, like I mentioned before, they had old settler picnics at these places, and so
just a good place to have community events.
First rodeo was at Salt Lake, that I remember.
You said some people had, some of the German Russians had some bad attitude toward the rodeo.
Well, by having a spoiled horse, and of course a bucking horse, and they, then train him to buck, you know, that didn't go over with the horse people that you could, so that was a no-no for the rodeos.
So they thought they were mistreating the animals?
In a way.
By teaching them to buck?
Yes, and of course, they were spoiled. But then if it was a spoiled horse, then it was, that's about all it was good for, in a way.
You also, there was an air show, or a guy in a plane, it wasn't necessarily an air show, but a guy in an airplane who came to Salt Lake once.
Canfield. Yeah, and then of course they talked about some parachuting, and then of course they flew over Salt Lake and let out the parachute with a dummy. And of course, I remember well, you know, these people, these ladies, you know, he's gonna drown. But
it wasn't just a joke, huh?
It was a joke.
Oh. My.
Yeah, that happened at Salt Lake.
Do you know where he flew in from, maybe? Bismarck or Jamestown?
It was northwest Bismarck, and it was, I wish I'd know, but they did this for Persian Lake. There was a pavilion, I was told, and of course at Lake Isabel really didn't have a landing place, but Salt Lake, at this landing area, but it was sand and gravel, but they took off, gave rides,
airplane rides.
Barnstormers. Barnstormers is what it was, that's what it was called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, you touched on this a little earlier about some of the games you played, but I guess it was, dominoes, and you made your own playing cards, and anything else you remember?
Checkerboard.
Checkers, too?
Domplatt. That's what it is called in German, of course. It was also called the fighting board by the Albrechts.
Why did they call it that? I mean, there's...
Well, you'd move, and then you'd see he could jump, and then you'd want to move back, but you had moved already, you know, that you...
And started a fight.
That started, that was the fighting board.
Sure. were there any, childhood stories that Graham or Grandpa or your parents would tell you, or fairy tales, that sort of thing, do you remember? Or?
Not my parents, but then there's some... neighbors maybe that told some tall stories. And of course later on there was this Irrlichtli, which of course is more like this imaginary, you imagine some, you think about some, you imagine it, then it kind of seems real too, you know, finally by just thinking about it all the time, you finally get confused yourself. Mm-hmm. And, okay.
Were there any, like, superstitions or scary stories, ghosts or anything like that that was part of the...
Well, maybe these stories were told to the younger guys to our kids to kind of scare them, you know, to stay home and doesn't that. Otherwise, not that I knew of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Brauch, or the folk medicine, was that important?
That was quite a bit, I'd say, by my grandmother Elizabeth. And of course, there was other older ladies that I was told, Mrs. Deschis Grossel, Napoleon, she was, and of course, a midwife, and Mrs. Tom Schwitzerberger, and Mrs. Oberlander, and they were all, of course, midwives in conjunction with, of course, my grandmother, my mother-in-law, her mother was one of these ladies in Russia, and of course, with my mother-in-law being the oldest, she was the babysitter. She had to do all the housework, and she didn't have no part of that. She was trying to get away from all that coming to America. But then her mother stuffed some sayings in her suitcase coming to America, and they were barely here, and then she needed it for the Vorum, which was the germ got in someplace, and then it would start a boil. And Grandpa Philip had got one of those pretty soon after I'd come to America, and then she wished she would have known more of that stuff. But I think My, there's good and bad, so you can use it for the good, and of course it can be used for bad too, you know. Because in the Garden of Eden there was God, but there was also the other fellow there, so.
Can you list or recall any specific home remedies? You probably don't have to say a lot about them, just basically what some of them were. Some of the cures you used?
Well, sweet cream and flour, that was very much used by my dad and for myself. That cured many, helped cure many infection for me, and vinegar. And of course, green drops were always on the shelf, and Kabul salt, and Gunfa salt, and of course, rosebud, that was a later rosebud salve, and Watkins liniment, of course, and Alvenkreide, that was herbal laxative. That was pretty much standard in most households.
Okay.
What about tea, like camellia tea?
Oh yes, and camellia tea was not the only thing that grew, and that was a big way of getting your liquids, if nothing else. It's 8 cups of liquid a day. And the camellia tea was served 3 or 4 cups at least a day.
Mm-hmm. Was that supposed to have any particular healing effect?
According to Grandma Stottle, she was another midwife. Yeah, or anything, somebody came with a rash or something like that, the first thing she did, she bathed it with camellia tea.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually got better.
Okay.
I just found out from my wife that it helps settle your stomach. That is, take away some of the acidity as well. That's what people
use. Digestive.
People use
herb.
It exactly today for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I went to a workshop recently where I found out that many, many of these herbal medicines, traditional ones, that came out of Germany in that area are being used today again. We have a whole, like, physician's desk reference formula book, drug formula book on just herbs. So that's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these cures that were used back then are making a comeback and probably doing just as well as some of the other medicine techniques of late. But do you think there are any different sicknesses today as compared to different illnesses of generations past?
Well, I suppose they get more diagnosed, but otherwise I suppose it's pretty much the same sicknesses, but with operations getting so common, and that has saved many lives since the 1910s.
I'm sure you weren't alive, you were alive before, you were born before penicillin was even introduced.
Oh yes,
So sicknesses related to infection are quite different now than they were then, I'm sure.
And it was the treatment of the sicknesses.
Right. The illnesses are probably about the same.
Smallpox was about the only thing that was vaccinated for. Later on, of course, came diphtheria, but that was in the 20s, more or less, I suppose, when smallpox, my father was vaccinated in Russia for smallpox. He had these marks on.
Mm-hmm.
What about cancer? Was there prevalence of that at all?
Yes, 1931, my friend, confirmation classmate in boarding, his mother died, was sick with cancer in 1931. Then she died in 32, And she wasn't, I suppose she was in her 50s, maybe 60s, and so breast cancer it was for her.
Mm-hmm. And they knew what cancer was, or identified it as cancer?
Yeah.
The disease of cancer?
I'm sure the treatment was rather limited, though.
Mm-hmm.
Cuts.
Okay. What do you remember about the role of midwives? And you said that in those days, midwives were often the brauchas, too. But what about midwives in the role of delivering babies?
I was the only ones around in my younger days. And
the ones you mentioned.
Yes, and of course even our oldest son and oldest daughter, they were delivered by midwives, but the second daughter or the third child, we had a doctor, and Dr. Stokes from Streeter. And of course, it was a good thing according to what the doctor said. And then Mary and Simon was delivered by Dr. Simon. That was about the closest to home that I remember, but the doctor came. And even Dr. John, we were married in the 40s.
What about in your mother's time when she delivered her children? Who helped with that? And how were they paid generally?
Grandma Elizabeth, she was the midwife until she left in 28. She ran into a problem with a wound, and then she left. And from there on, there was other midwives, and of course, Mrs. Hoggle and Mrs. Shoemaker. And like for our oldest son, Mrs. Oberlender, which was also the midwife for the mother, Louise, and Merle's mother, and of course my wife was Mrs. Oberlender.
How did they get paid?
Well, my grandmother, I suppose, that was just a common thing. And maybe a little cash money, or maybe some food, or gift, or something like
that. Barter?
Hoggles, of course, they could use food anytime. Mm-hmm. They had a big family, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll wrap it up there for today. November 7th, 1999. Finished up about 6:05 in the evening. First things first. Resuming the interview on Sunday, November 21st, 1999, back here in Bismarck at Erica Wangler's place. We left off with question 83, and resuming with number 84 under the heading Dramatic Survival in America. Well, I guess I know for a fact that there were a lot of Russian phrases that were used in addition to German in the household when you were young. Any that you recall specifically, any sort of Russian phrases or?
Not so much in our family, but there were families that were more Russian. With officers, there was only one hour school in Bessarabia, Friedenstadt, but in Glickstadt it was half and half. Half the German, half the Russian. So, but there were some carryovers to take over. Right quick, of course.
I guess on the Gump side, they Lily remembers a lot more Russian phrases or whatever than I think than I've heard from other people. So on my mother's side, they probably did a lot more of that. Did you get newspapers out there
on occasion, or?
On the farm, oh yes.
They were passed around?
Sturzenzeiger and...
It's okay.
Der Sturzenzeiger and Linke Rundschau and the Code Freie Press. They were the three ones that I remember well.
Mm-hmm. Were they mailed out, or?
Oh yes, yeah, they were mailed out. This was a party, mail route, you could call it. If my uncle and cousin, Mrs. Gottlieb Zimmerman, of course the family and my folks went to town, they brought mail, everybody's mail, and of course dropped it off. So when they got to town, we had to go over and get at my uncle's place or at the Zimmerman's. That's what my folks.
Mm-hmm. Were those papers shared with other families?
Maybe the Grandpa Carl and our family. Yeah, no, otherwise it was the Lang, two Lang families, of course, mm-hmm. that shared maybe this one paper. But otherwise, each one had their own.
And those were obviously in German?
Yeah.
All of them?
They were. We had the Kidder County Farmers Press, of course, that was the Kidder County seat news. So that's about the only English paper. Yeah, that was the only English paper we had,
mm-hmm.
was the county seat reports for Kidder County.
So in like a paper like Dakota Freie Press, what sort of information was in there? What did they print?
There was all the up-to-date world news, U.S. news, and of course, I know the Sturzenzeiger had the Bericht that people send in from certain areas. Of course, there were some that were better, more fluent writers, and of course, they reported more. But they reported the activity, and somebody died, somebody was born, and of course, new arrivals, that is from Russia, maybe. And more up to date, the family, like the Woods family. They were regular writers. There was a Mrs. Bender from maybe Beulah or wherever, Sapp. She was kind of a regular, maybe once a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Montana writer, Schmidt, that put some of these berichts in.
Hmm. Do you know where they were printed?
Eureka was pretty much the center, but then as these Eureka Rundschau, of course, but then later on, I think it was a printing press in Bismarck, but
mm-hmm.
then they finally ended up in Winona, Minnesota, I guess. So they had this Bunt, he was the rector, straightened the berichts out and had them printed, and then of course the printing press was in my own, and of course the Finnish and the Norwegian or Scandinavian papers, I can think they were pretty much under one roof because they used the same kind of Gothic letters.
Mm-hmm. Typesetting.
Mm-hmm. Typesetting.
Yep. Did they print any comics in those papers?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there were the Sauramse.
What was that?
Oh, they always had a, it was a joking thing, you know. Kind of true to life, but of course it was pretty much like Amos and Andy, somebody was almost more right than the. And of course, one fellow was, of course, a little, one one-sided, one didn't catch on that fast. Yeah, I explained it better. So that's, I enjoy the Sodom from reading that. Except the Romance, I couldn't understand the Romance. In Germany, you know, von Hegel and Gebirg and Fluss and no one. Then, of course, but otherwise, I enjoyed the local news, Sprichte, and of course, the world news. And
the Romance tales were.
Were a no-no for me.
Just because you weren't interested mostly, huh?
Well, maybe not, but I couldn't understand the geography, you know, in, in Germany, you know. And then, of course, they had their sayings too, you know. But the geography was the big thing, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you remember about when your family got their first conveniences, modern day conveniences? Like, what do you remember about electricity first coming?
Well, there was a neighbor, Fred Hofer's, and we could see the yard light that was on the windmill tower, and that shone through through the valley, and that they were the first electric lights. And I'd say they came in the later teens, I suppose, 1920s or so. That yard light was the first. Then, of course, we got our first light plant in 1931, which was a 32-volt battery set. And that was for lights and for the washing machine. And was that ever a blessing for me? I didn't have to turn the washing machine anymore, or pump it, whatever the old times were, they were a pump. But and I was only, of course, 11, 12 years old. So that was, we had an iron, the folks had an electric iron, but that never got used, because that would have took a lot of energy, but
lots of juice, huh?
Lots of electricity.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we didn't have a radio until 34. That's our first radio in the Lang, Fred Lang residence, which was a 32-volt that fit in with the electric system.
The first yard light you was talking about, was that wind generator or?
No, that was a
gas.
That was evidently a gas powered unit.
Gas motor.
Yeah, I'd say.
So it wasn't really electric at that point, huh? Or was?
Well, it drove electric dynamo, electric generator. Oh yeah, they had a battery set too.
Oh.
Then when our Fairbanks Moore's light plant gave out, then the folks switched to a wind generator, which of course was a battery set too. And of course I don't remember the year that much, but
That first power plant you were talking about in 31, though, that was gas.
Gasoline.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they switched to the wind generator.
Yeah, after more out. The battery set wore out, and of course get new batteries, they got the wind charger and to top it off.
Okay, what about your first car? What do you remember about the first car in your family?
Oh yeah, I remember that well, which was in 1925, in the spring of 25, which was a Model T touring car. And it had a starter. My dad was a small man, and he didn't, so he got a starter and a battery right away.
He couldn't crank, you mean?
Well, he could crank, but...
not well.
They needed a lot of the cranking on magneto. The battery was a sure fire, sure spark.
So, and then what about telephone?
Telephone we had as long as I can remember. And that was a full party. And that was run on the barbed wire fences from Uncle Ben to Zimmerman's to Lang's and to John Liddow's. And there was, of course, overhead wiring. Zimmerman's, well, the first one was across the section line, half a mile exactly between between Zimmerman's. There was 2x4s with barbed wire. And then Zimmerman's had one that went over to the Langs. And then we had one, two that there was overhead barbed wire for the telephone going over to Liddell's.
Was it the old crank?
Yes.
Crank type?
Oh yes. Yeah, that was the crank type.
One ring, two rings?
Yeah, that's another thing. Ours was a short and a long ring. But Zimmerman's was a long and a short ring. And my Uncle Benny had just a long ring. And Liddell's, I couldn't even remember now, but anyway.
Probably two short ones.
Maybe two short ones.
Okay. Well.
So, and then the more modern telephone lines came about when?
They came in the 50s.
In the 50s?
Yeah, that's when we finally. But the big thing was electricity, of course. Many farmers, they got their own plants. Anyway, and I was banking on